The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 26. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on October 29th, 2013, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yata, yata, nishchalati, mana, chanchalam, astiram, tata, tata, niyamya, etat, atmani, eva, visham, nayet, Yato yato nishalati manaschanchalamastiram tatas tato niyam yaitad atman yeva visham nayet yato yato nishalati Manas chanchalam astiram tatas tato niyam yaitad atman yeva visham niyet. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. Purport. The nature of the mind is flickering and unsteady. But a self-realized yogi has to control the mind. The mind should not control him. One who controls the mind and therefore the senses as well is called Goswami or Swami. And one who is controlled by the mind is called Godas, or the servant of the senses. A Goswami knows the standard of sense happiness. In transcendental sense happiness, the senses are engaged in the service of Rishikesha, or the supreme owner of the senses, Krishna. Serving Krishna with purified senses is called Krishna consciousness. That is the way of bringing the senses under full control. What is more, that is the highest perfection of yoga practice. So this verse describes two types of persons. You're either one or the other. You're either a Goswami or you're a Godas. If you don't control your mind, you're a Goda. Because the senses, they're all connected with the mind, you see. So if your mind is uncontrolled, your senses will naturally be uncontrolled. And you will live a hellish life. Serving the senses is a very hellish life. Because what do they reward you with? Old age, disease, and death. You can spend your whole life working very hard to serve your senses, and that's all they give you. It's not a very attractive retirement plan. But if you can do the opposite thing, if instead of letting your mind run wild like a monkey, if you can keep your mind under control, it's like the rider of the horse keeps the horse under control. If you can keep your mind under control, then your senses will naturally be under control. Your speech will also be under control. And then you'll be in a whole different realm of consciousness. You'll be a Goswami, a master of the senses. That means you'll be able to keep your mind fixed on Krishna 24 hours a day, in all times, places, and circumstances. No allurement of the material world will pull your mind away from Krishna. See, there's two types of Goswamis. There's the yogi and there's the devotee. But the yogi is not really a true Goswami, because he's mechanically absorbing his mind in transcendence. He's not getting a higher taste. He still has material desires. He's greedy for yogic cities. So he's still self-interested, he's still selfish. So he's not really a Goswami, although he may appear to be. The only true Goswami is the devotee, because he engages his senses fully in the service of Krishna. And in that way, by that loving relationship with Krishna, he becomes satisfied. If you want to be satisfied, you have to have a loving relationship. Any relationship which is based on greed or selfishness doesn't satisfy. It's a dirty feeling, a dirty taste. But if you can have a relationship that's purely based on love, you see, then it feels good. I mean, it really does. It feels good. And you can go deeper and deeper into that relationship for all of eternity. It just becomes sweeter and richer and more beautiful as time passes. So that's what Krishna consciousness is. Instead of trying to maintain some artificial position as the center of the universe, which is what we all try to do in this world. And from our very childhood, we're trying to pull off being the center of the universe. Competing with everybody else who wants to be the center of the universe. And everybody fails miserably. Even the big, big successful people, they also fail miserably. Nobody can do it. Nobody can pull off being the center of the universe. Except for Krishna. Because he is the center of the universe. Not only this universe, he's the center of all the universes. The infinite universe is both spiritual and mundane. He's the center of all of them. Now you may say, I have a hard time fixing my mind on Krishna. I'm attracted by lust, attracted by greed, I'm overcome by anger, I'm overcome with illusion, confusion, envy. So how can I keep my mind fixed? Rupa Goswami is giving us a very nice tip. Tunde tandamani vitang vitanate tundavali labdiye karna krodha kadammani gatiyate kunarvide braspiham cheta prangana sangani vijayate sravendriyanam krutim no jani janita kriyadbir amritai krishneti varnadvayam. He says, I do not know how much nectar. These two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because whenever I vibrate Krishna, Krishna is dancing on my tongue. And there's so much nectar oozing out from those two syllables, Krishna, that my one mouth, it cannot hold all of that nectar. And when those syllables, Krishna, enter the holes of my ears, which is are Krishna himself, actually, there is so much nectar oozing, just streaming out, gushing out from Krishna. Putting Niagara Falls to shame.
Putting
what? Niagara Falls is the biggest waterfall in the world, and it's nothing compared to the nectar gushing out from Krishna. What my two little ears can capture. There are oceans and oceans of nectar oozing out from Krishna. What my two little ears can hold. Therefore, I need billions of ears, trillions of ears, quadrillions of ears to capture that nectar. And when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. I'm stunned, I'm paralyzed in a state of transcendental wonder. So does Rupa Goswami having a difficulty in controlling his mind? Don't look at that pretty girl over there. Don't get lusty, don't get envious of that person driving the Rolls Royce over there. Does he have any difficulty keeping his mind fixed on Krishna? No, not at all. There's not even a question of the mind going anywhere
else.
So, this is the secret. If you want to actually become a Goswami, then you have to follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. You have to become a Rupanuga, a follower in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. Actually, Prabhupada says, I didn't make up that term. Prabhupada says, in his Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada says, we are all Rupanugas. We are followers in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. So we have to actually do that. If we follow the wonderful teachings that Prabhupada gives us in the Nectar of Devotion, which is the summary study of Rupa Goswami's work, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then we'll in fact become Rupanugas. Simply following the injunctions, the instructions of the Nectar Devotion. Rupa Goswami names what are the principles of devotional service. What you have to do to actually become fixed. The first thing is you have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. That's the first step. You become initiated by him. You take instructions from him. And this way, that's how Rupa Goswami says to begin this pathway. Today, one young lady asked me a question. She said, this is her, she just walked in. She asked me, when does one require a spiritual master? And I told her this, that actually when you come to the human form, that's when you require a spiritual master. As soon as you come to the human form, now it's time for a guru. That's all. It's just part of being a human. You have to have a guru. Why is that? Because the human life is meant for getting out of the cycle of birth and death. And the other species, the other forms of life, the birds, the beasts, the fish, the plants, the insects, it's simply sense gratification, that's all. You have no choice. You just have to gratify your senses. There's no question of self-realization in the lower species. There is no question. But atato brahma jigyasa. Now that you have a human form, Vedanta Sutra says, now you must take up the pathway of self-realization. So, that's when you should be serious about having a spiritual master. Take a look at your body. Do you have a dog body? Do you have a cat body? Do you have a tree body? Or do you have a mosquito body? Take a look at your body. Check it out. You have a human body? I think you all have human bodies. If my eyes are telling me, I can see properly. Everybody in this room has a human body. Of course, there are some microbial germs floating around the air. Maybe a few cockroaches crawling around. But I'm seeing a whole room full of human beings. So that means you should all be serious about taking shelter of a spiritual master. Because the human life means you must have a spiritual master, otherwise you're not a human being. That's why we have dvija, or twice born. Initiation means you're born for the second time. Without initiation, you're an animal. Therefore, one has to take very seriously the seeking out a bona fide spiritual master. And the young lady also inquired, well, how do you know who's a bona fide spiritual, how do you recognize a bona fide spiritual
master?
That is a very simple thing to understand. Because the original spiritual master is Krishna. Krishna is the supreme authority. So actually, as Prabhupada pointed out, guru is one. Guru cannot be two. Guru is one. Because there's only one teaching. And whoever gives that teaching as it is without deviation, he is guru. So if you'll study Bhagavad Gita very carefully, the entire book, cover to cover, reading it again and again for a deep comprehension, then you will understand what a bona fide guru will teach. So if the guru doesn't teach what's stated in the Bhagavad Gita, he's not a guru, he's a lagu. Guru means heavy. And lagu means light. He's like a feather. He's not heavy, he's not strong, he's weak spiritually. So one should take advantage of this human life. Seek out a bona fide spiritual master who presents Bhagavad Gita as it is. and give your life to Him.
Ir paukoti savo gyvenimą jam.
Live your life under His instructions.
Gyventi pagal jo nurodymus, pamokymus.
Because that will liberate you from this material existence.
Nes tai išvaduos jus iš materialios egzistencijos.
That will make you a perfect yogi.
Padarys tai tobulus jogus.
You will actually develop a taste for the name, Nama Ruchi. You can derive unlimited happiness just by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, now I can ask if there's any questions.
If a person is practicing, I will translate first.
Jeigu žmogus pradeda kartuoti šventus vardus, o jo mama pamano, kad jis išpradėjo ir nori išvežti į ligoninę ir gydyti cheminiais preparatais, kaip elgtis tokiu atveju?
If a person starting to chant holy name, but his mother thinks, start to think that he is becoming crazy because of this and wants to put him to the psycho hospital, clinic, what should he do in such situation?
It's better to live somewhere else. Get your own apartment or live in the temple. Because your mother is crazy. You don't want to associate with a crazy person. You become crazy if you associate with a crazy person. Get a job, get your own apartment. Or if you're qualified, you can live in the temple. But don't associate with someone who is inimical towards chanting Hare Krishna. It's not good. Next question. Okay, what was the question?
How to purify motive? How to purify motive of why I am doing devotional service? How to purify this motive?
Well, you have to do it for the pleasure of Krishna. And Krishna wants you to have a spiritual master, so you have to do it. You have to seek it. You have to become a disciple of bona fide spiritual master. You have to do your service in such a way that pleases Him. Because if one doesn't take a guru, they're taking their mind as a guru, and the mind is a very bad guru. The mind is a bogus guru, you see. So one should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, become initiated, and then do everything for his pleasure. That's how you get free of material motives. Yeah. Next question. Yeah.
Moktas yra visuomet pasijungęs prie Krišnos ir jisai 24 valandas per parą tai jaučia. Ar jisai tiesiog įsijungia tam tikrais momentais?
Ar dvasinis moktas yra pastovus įsijungęs prie Krišnos 24 valandas, ar jisai tik kaip kartais?
Ar jisai periodiškai įsijungia kartodamas mantrą arba kažkokias instrukcijas duodamas, ar jisai
Uh-huh. If a spiritual master is 24 hours connected with Krishna, or is just at some certain points when he's chanting or giving instructions.
No, the spiritual master is 24 hours a day connected with Krishna. So if you connect with the spiritual master, you'll be connected with Krishna automatically. He's a live wire connected with the powerhouse. So you connect with Guru, then you also become a live wire, you see. Another question here. What are the qualities of a Brahmana? This is described in Bhagavad Gita chapter 18. Shamadamatatavchotam shantirajamame vitsha gyanam veganamastikyam brahma karma svabhavajam.
Which number?
I think it's 1842. Is it? Yeah, 1842. Controlling the mind. Controlling the senses.
Shamadam,
being austere, being clean, being tolerant. Having theoretical knowledge of transcendence and practical realization as well. And having full faith in the scriptures. These are the qualities by which a Brahmana works. Brahmana is not by birth, as the foolish people in India think. Brahmana is by qualities. He has to be fixed up in Krishna consciousness, engaging himself fully in Krishna service, then he is Brahmana. Next question. Yeah.
Su tėveliais santykiai yra labai geri ir jie gerbė mano poziciją, bet kad jie taptų inicijuoti, tai labai mažo vilties, tai labai skaudu girdėti, kad jie lieka gyvulio lygyje. Ką daryti tuomet?
I have good relationships with my parents, but that they accept initiation is quite unbelievable. That is mean that they stay in animal platform. So what I can do for them?
Oh, if they don't take up Krishna consciousness, give them a lot of prasadam. And bring them to the temple, let them experience kirtan. Bring them to meet me. Let me preach to them. And Guru Mata also can preach.
Guru Mata ir aš galėtume papasakoti.
Next question. Yeah.
Ar visi atsidavę turi siekti antros iniciacijos?
Klausimas, ar visi atsidavę turi siekti antros iniciacijos?
Question. If all the devotees should seek for a second initiation,
this
try to get second.
Yes, every devotee should become qualified for first initiation and then second initiation.
Žinoma, kiekvienas atsidavęs turėtų kvalifikuotis į pirmą iniciaciją, po to į antrą.
We want you to also become qualified for second initiation.
Mes norim, kad jūs taipogi taptumėt kvalifikuoti antrąją iniciaciją.
I'll be very happy to see you on the altar during the arti.
Būčiau labai laimingas matyti
as a brahmana.
Altoriui siūlot arti kaip brahmana.
O dėl ko būtinai reikia tos antros iniciacijos?
Why it is needed this second initiation?
One needs to become mature in Krishna consciousness.
Reikia tapti subrendusiu Krishna sąmonė.
First initiation, we are a little lenient to give everybody a chance.
Pirma iniciacija tai tarsi toks nuolaidumas, kad suteikti visiems šansą.
But for second initiation, you must show some maturity.
O antrai tai reikia parodyti brandą.
You're a sober, sober-minded person capable of teaching others the science of Krishna consciousness. Brahmana means, Prabhupada said, Brahman means he is the spiritual master of the whole human society.
Prabhupada minėjo, kad Brahmana reiškia mokytas visos žmonijos.
So you want to see that our first initiates become very sober, mature, capable of teaching others very nicely the science of Krishna consciousness. Brahman means now you're a teacher. We want you to become qualified to teach others the science of Krishna consciousness.
Kvalifikuoti, mokyti Krishna samadhi.
So we need many, many Brahmanas.
To reikia daug, daug Brahmanas.
To make the whole world Krishna conscious.
Kad visas pasaulis taptų Krishna samadhi.
Yeah.
Ar vištas pasadas, tarkim, šventyklos, duoda kokią nors naudą žmogui, nu, karmiai paprastam, bet jis nežino, kad tai yra prasadas, tiesiog maistas. Kokia tai duoda nauda?
Kokia yra nauda iš parvešto prasado žmogui, kuris yra...
Bet būtent iš šventyklos.
Šventyklos žmogui, kuris nežino, kad tai prasadas ir jį valgo.
What is the benefit of prasadam which is brought from temple to some karmic person who don't know that it's prasadam and the benefit of such food?
Knowingly or unknowingly, anyone who takes prasadam becomes purified.
Žinant ar nežinant, valgant prasadą, jis vis tiek apsivalgo.
They can become a human being in their next life just by taking one piece of prasadam.
Tiesiog paragaujant gabalėlį prasado, kitą kūną galim gauti kaip žmogus.
One bite can qualify them to become a human in the next life.
Vienas kąsnis gali kvalifikuoti juos kaip žmogaus, bent jau žmogaus formą gauna.
So just keep distributing prasadam.
Taigi dėl to reikia platinti prasadą.
Yeah.
Jeigu žmogus, kuris gauna to prasado, sako, kad jis neskanus ar net kritikuoja,
Jeigu žmogus paragauja prasadą ir pradeda jį kritikuoti, ar tai neįžeidimas ir nebūna priešinga reakcija?
If a person tastes prasadam and starts to criticize it, isn't it works like in different way?
Yes. It may take a few lifetimes before he gets his result, his good result.
Jo, gali užtrukti porą gyvenimų, kol ateis tada ta nauda.
You need to become a dog for a few lifetimes. Actually, one man in France, he said, he was saying how he would like to become a dog, so Prabhupada blessed him to become a dog.
Taigi vienas žmogus Prancūzijoje propadai pareiškia, aš norėčiau būti šunim ir propadai palaimino jį.
So, yeah, they may become dogs and this and gradually get the benefit of having taken the prasadam.
Jo, jie gali tapti šunim ar dar kažko, bet galų gale vis tiek gaus naudą prasadą.
But you can defeat them also.
Bet galima juos ir įveikti.
And save them.
Ir išgelbėti.
Just like that boy who that hippie who threw the sweets in the street. It was a very offensive thing.
Tas hippis, kur tada kai pasakojo, kur išvertė man saldainius.
But then I chastised him very strongly and that chastisement brought him to his senses and then he picked up all the sweets that he'd thrown in the street.
Subariau jį labai stipriai ir jisai išpirko kaltę surinkdamas visus saldainius.
So the anger of a Vaishnava can sometimes be very helpful. When somebody is very blasphemous, a very strong, powerful Vaishnava can sometimes snap them out of their blasphemous mood.
Stiprus Vaishnavas galingas kartais gali išmušti jį iš žydinčios nuotaikos.
Next question. Yeah.
Man įdomu, pavyzdžiui, kad yra kaip Vaishnava paratka, kada Vaishnava įžydžia kokį. Ir koks yra skirtumas tarp tiesiog egoizmo kažkokio žmogaus, nes kitą kartą gali kaip netikrą ego įžeisti. Nu, pavyzdžiui, kažkam vaišnavui kažką pasakys, ar ne? Ir kaip, ir gali kaip, nu, tai kaip netikras ego būt, ar kaip tikra tokia aparatka vaišnavo, tai nu, kaip atskirti tos dalykus, kada tiesiog netikras ego tai yra? Nu, dar gal nelabai atskleidžiu tą klausimą. Supratot jūs?
Ta prasme, jeigu kažkas kritikuoja kažką, ar tai kritikuoja iš netikro ego, ar...
Nu, ne tai, kad kritikuoja, bet, pavyzdžiui, dabar tam Vaišnavo bendrijoje, ne, kažkas būna pasako kažką, taip, nu, tarsi netikro ego gali žiūrėti. Va, ten būna žmogus įsižeidžia, ar tam priimo
kažką. Angliškai iš...
I'll try to translate in English.
Well, you can translate it.
It's quite difficult to understand this question.
All right, try then.
So, what?
I want to know what is real Vaishnava aparatha and what is difference between Vaishnava aparatha and just false ego of some person?
Vaishnava aparatha is the practical manifestation of false ego.
Vaishnava aparatha tai yra praktinis apsireiškimas netikro ego.
They're interconnected.
Yra labai artimai surišti.
Someone who is proud and puffed up, he will commit so many Vaishnava aparatha.
Tas, kuris yra pasipūtęs ir išdidus, jis atlieka tiek daug Vaishnava aparatha.
Because he's not humble.
Jis nenuolankus.
So if one deals with a Vaishnava in a very proud, haughty way, thinking you're better than the Vaishnava, then you will commit so many aparadhas.
Tas, kuris pasipūtęs ir išdidus, mano, kad jisai geriausias Vaishnavas, atliks tiek daug.
Therefore, we always bow down at the feet of the Vaishnava.
Po to mes pastovi linkėmės prie Vaishnavų pėdų.
Vanša kapotari vyascha kripa sindhavyei vacha patitanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So here's another question. What is the position of a person who is not qualified to accept a spiritual master, and how can he get a taste for the holy name?
Taigi, klausimas, kokia yra padėtis žmogaus, kuris nėra kvalifikuotas priimti dvasinį mokytą, ir kaip jis gali gauti skonį šventam vardui?
It's very simple. All he has to do is qualify himself to take shelter of his spiritual master. Because that is the, if you study the steps given by Rupa Goswami, first thing is you have faith. Second thing is you take shelter of the association of devotees. The third stage is you take initiation from the bona fide spiritual master. The fourth stage is you become, under his guidance, you become free from the dirt in the heart. And then you become solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then you develop a taste for the name. So you can't come to the sixth step unless you complete the third step. Diksha is the third step. A taste for the name is the sixth step. So you can't skip a step. You won't be successful. You have to go step by step through the process. And then you'll achieve the desired goal.
Ar žmogus priėmęs mokytą, jis turi išpažinti savo gyvenimą nuveiktą tiek nuodėmingą, tiek gerą veiklą?
If person who accepts spiritual master, he should confess his past sinful activities, what he was doing before?
No, it's not necessary.
Ne, nebūtina.
Because how many sinful activities you committed in how many millions of lifetime? You'd have to go on for 10 million years giving a list of all your sin. Yeah, I murdered somebody, I raped somebody, I did this, I did that. I mean, in all the lifetimes, we've all done the most sinful things. You see, so better just chant Hare Krishna and wipe it all out.
Yeah. Ir tas tikėjimas, kuris dar jisai nors ir buvo, bet jisai toks yra labiau impersonalistinis, kaip tą tokį Krišnos tokį per nu, tikėjimą tuo asmeniniu tokiu aspektu išsilaikyti.
You was mentioning about the steps. First step, that it's faith. Second is association with devotees.
Yeah.
And if one gets into Krishna consciousness through the association of devotees, like Bhakti Vriksha, and his faith is still some impersonal, so how to develop this?
If his faith what?
Faith is quite impersonal. It's impersonal.
Yeah, that means his faith is not very developed yet.
Jo, tai reiškia, kad jo tikėjimas dar nėra išvystytas.
There's two kinds of faith. There's Shraddha, which is preliminary faith.
Yra du lygiai tikėjimo, tai Shraddha, kuris yra
which can be tinged with impersonalism.
Pirminis tikėjimas, kuris yra
but then there's Nishtha, which is firm faith.
O Nishtha, tai yra tvirtas tikėjimas.
That's after they get free of the impersonalism in the heart.
O tada jau būna išvalytas impersonalizmas iš širdies.
And only after firm faith does ruchi come, non-ruchi.
Ir tik po tvirto tikėjimo ateina švento vardo skonis, non-ruchi.
Did that answer your question?
Sako?
So how to achieve this personal faith?
Well, you have to get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master and take his orders, your life and soul. And then by doing that, all the dirt in your heart will gradually become cleaned away.
You
develop firm faith and namaruchi. That's why Prabhupada emphasizes the importance of initiation again and again. That's why the scriptures also emphasize the importance of initiation. Yes.
What to do if one is living with some roommate?
Living with who?
Roommate, like
roommates.
Other Mataji, like who is not chanting, and if I get association with that Mataji, I'm also starting to lose taste for service and the holy name. What should I do?
You're living with somebody who's not chanting, and then what?
If you associate with her, you're losing taste for holy name and taste for service.
Not necessarily. If they're blasphemous, that's a bad thing. But if they're just innocent person and they're not taking, you be the leader and you engage them in Krishna consciousness.
Jeigu jie nekritikuoja, tiesiog kaip nekaltai, tai nieko baisaus. Jūs tiesiog turite paimti.
If you're able to preach to somebody, you don't become polluted by their neophyte consciousness. By preaching in neophytes, you advance in Krishna consciousness. It's only if they're blasphemous that it's not good. If they're a sincere person that's open to hearing about Krishna consciousness and you're associating with them and you preach to them, you'll become more strong in Krishna consciousness. But you have to be the leader. You can't follow them. You have to lead them to Krishna. Don't let them lead you away from
Krishna.
And that's the key. Next question.
Kažkas reikalauja, kad atsiprašytų kitų žmonių, kažkurių žmonių reikia atsiprašyti. Ar tas atsiprašymas būtinas, ar ten jisai kažką tai įtakoja, ar reikia pas to žmonės eiti, atsiprašinėti ten kažką tai, ar nereikia atsiprašyti.
Žinau, kaip sąžinė? Kaip sąžinė, kaip sąžinė?
My inner voice is telling that I need to get forgiveness for someone.
If your inner voice is telling what?
I need to get forgiveness for someone. Apologize, I mean.
Well, first of all, your inner voice Could be your mind, that may not be actually the super soul guiding you. Therefore, you actually need the guidance of Vaishnavas to help you know what you should do and what you should not do. Because you may think it's the inner voice, but it's just your own mental concoctions. So you need to be guided by Vaishnavas and how to conduct your life properly. Don't do it on your own. You're not qualified to do that. Take help from Vaishnavas. And how to conduct your life properly. Next question. Yeah. So what was the question?
The question is from where or from whom we should know perfectly how to not help others, but how to lead others.
From where and from who should we learn how to lead others? That comes from associating with Guru, advanced devotees, and Prabhupada's books. You find out where you can get proper guidance. You need proper leadership to lead you first. That is in Prabhupada's books. That's in Guru. That's in senior Vaishnavas. From there, you can actually get the proper guidance how you can properly be engaged in Krishna consciousness. And then, when you are properly situated, and you understand what it means to be properly situated in Krishna consciousness, and it's very easy to also engage others in Krishna consciousness. Any other questions? Ashti Shaki.
Ar tai gandas, aš esu girdėjusi, reiškiasi, iš Brahmano, man taip yra pasakęs, kad kol negausi antros iniciacijos, tai negalėsi grįžti ar į dvasinį pasąmonį, ar į Vairotą Vrindavaną, nežinau, kažkam tokio esu girdėjusi, tai noriu sužinoti tiksliau.
I would like to get more details about second initiation. I heard the rumor, or something like from one Brahmana, that if you do not get initiation, Brahman initiation, you cannot go either to Goloka Vrindavan or to the spiritual world. Is it true?
No.
If
somebody is purely engaged in Krishna consciousness, but they haven't gotten a second initiation yet, they'll still go back to Gaudiya. Second initiation is not required for going back to Gaudiya. Pure bhakti is required. So just focus on becoming a pure devotee. And then automatically you'll become a Brahman. You see, a Brahman means who is fixed in the mode of material mode of goodness. And the devotee means someone who is fixed in pure goodness. So if you focus on being a pure devotee, then automatically you become a Brahmana. I'm sure you'll be recommended. If you focus on pure bhakti, your temple authority, Sankirtan Prabhu, will recognize your advancement and he'll recommend you for second initiation with no problem. You simply strive to be a pure devotee of Krishna. That your every thought, word, and deed should be pleasing to Krishna in all times, places, and circumstances. And also to your spiritual master. Always try to be pleasing to your spiritual master. Your every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances.
Ir mintimis, bet kokiu laiku ir vietoje.
Then you automatically be a brahmana.
Ir automatiškai tampat brahmana.
And you'll achieve pure bhakti.
Ir pasieksit tyra bhakti.
So, we thank you all very much.
Ačiū jums visiem.
For coming tonight to the Hare Krishna Center.
Kad atėjot šiandien į Hare Krishna Center.
We're very pleased to see your enthusiasm to inquire about the science of bhakti.
Mes labai džiaugiamės matydami, kaip jūs tobulėjat. Bhakti moksle.
Please continue in this way of coming regularly and chanting and inquiring and hearing. Is the gentleman who gave the car here tonight?
Tomorrow.
Huh?
Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow he's coming, okay. So we'll go ahead and stop here, and then tomorrow morning will be my last lecture. Because Mataji and I are heading out tomorrow for Riga. So everyone come tomorrow for Bhagavatam. You have some questions that is burning your heart, write them down. If you have a lot of questions, I'll try to give a short lecture and answer a lot of questions. Jai, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.
His grace Śrīmān Sankarśāna Tikāri Mahārāja ki
jai.
Hare Krishna.